Bienvenidos a Capilla. Welcome to chapel. This past semester, we were in Guatemala City. We were studying, living with host families, learning the culture, and overall just having a great time. And this morning, we would like to share with you bits and pieces of our trip, some of the hardships, some of the fun times, and also some of what we have learned. Right now, we just want to pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the world you have created, for all of its natural beauty, and for all of its people. We praise you and thank you for your presence of peace, comfort, and joy in our lives. God, as we enter into a time of sharing, may we, your people, bring glory to your name in remembrance of your ongoing work and presence in Guatemala. Lord, this morning we invite you into our hearts and offer our minds and bodies as a gift to your service. En el nombre de Jesús Cristo, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
So day one of Guatemala. We arrived in Guatemala City at about 10 o'clock at night, and we were all exhausted and scared and confused and experiencing some major culture shock. And we went and stayed at Casas, which is the school where we studied at, for 8 weeks, and woke up the next morning and didn't really know what was going to happen. But at 8 o'clock in the morning, we all started our Spanish class, and that was an interesting experience for some of us, and also just very shocking in general.
Buenos días, clase. Bienvenidos, bienvenidas. ¿Cómo están? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Tú?
Sí, sí.
Oh, sí.
¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo te va? ¿Cómo te ha ido? ¿Cómo se llaman ustedes? ¿Cómo te llamas? ¿Cómo te llamas?
Gracias.
Es tu nombre. Tu nombre, ¿cómo? Your name.
Hi, my name is Mary Dunn, and I'm going to be sharing on our experience that we had living with host families in Guatemala City, which is we stayed with them for 8 weeks while we were studying at Casas, studying Spanish. Going into it, we were all a bit nervous because of the language barrier and just the idea of living with complete strangers. But I think that I can speak for the whole group in saying that it turned out to be one of the best experiences for us during the whole semester. So when I first volunteered to share on this, I was planning on finding a good journal entry during the time with my family to share. But unfortunately, when I look back, I found that I was kind of a slacker during this time and did not journal. So if I would have journaled, this is what it probably would have sounded like. Today, I was so scared because we met our host families for the first time. My heart was pounding as I waited to hear my name called to be presented to my mom for the first time. Which one was she? Would she like me? Would I get along with her and the rest of my family? However, these fears vanished just as quickly as they engulfed me, as I was lovingly embraced by my mother, as if we had known each other for years. Right away, I knew my fears were for nothing, as I was overwhelmed by her sheer happiness to have me join her family these next 2 months. Later today, I got to meet the rest of my family, my dad and two brothers, who also lovingly accepted me. I can't believe that even though I've only known them for one day, I already feel so accepted and so connected in such a special way. So yeah, it was a great 8 weeks with my family, and I will never forget them. And Yeah, they just so lovingly accepted me and welcomed me, even though there were such obvious cultural and language barriers between us.
My name is Chris Hollinger, and I'll be sharing a reflection on one of our trips with CASAS. Our first trip with CASAS was to the cemetery and the city dump. And for me, it was one of the most moving and profound experiences on the trip. The following is an excerpt from my journal on that day. I was not a slacker. I journaled. Today, I stood on the edge of a once vast ravine that is rapidly filling with garbage. Vultures, thousands of them circled overhead, and many more thousands rested on nearby trees, turning them black. The air was filled with the noises of trucks depositing garbage and bulldozers spreading it out. The stink of the place was almost unbearable. I looked down from my position above the mountain of trash to witness the most extreme poverty imaginable. I watched as people, hundreds of them, slowly picked their way through the garbage looking for things to sell. This is how they live. The dump is a dangerous place, and death there is not uncommon as people fall, are run down by the trucks and bulldozers, or contract disease. They should not have to be here, but this is what they must do to survive. As we all stood in grim silence, Byron asked the question, "How do you tell these people that God loves them?" I don't profess to know the answer to this question, but one thing is sure. It takes more than words. It takes concrete action. As we turned to go, I saw a man standing on the edge of the mountain of garbage, watching us. As I looked at him, he gave me a hand and then returned to sorting through trash. What was that man thinking, I wonder, as he looked up at us?
So every Thursday afternoon, you guys can come up here now if you want. Every Thursday afternoon and every other weekend, we took trips with CASAS, our school, to visit different places in Guatemala City, and then we also went to several places in the whole country of Guatemala. And whenever we did this, we would be in some sort of school bus or microbus, and that always made for some interesting times. It's usually a very long ride, usually a very hot ride, and yeah, not the most fun part of our trip. But we did have one special thing that made our bus rides very enjoyable, and that was Byron.
I just like to just look around and see what you all are doing. It's just kind of what I do.
Would you all like to hear a story? The other day I was on a field trip with Bill and Nikita, and we were on their school bus, and everyone just started getting up and started dancing. It was just, I just thought, what would that look like here?
Another thing that we got to do a lot of was go shopping in the Guatemalan markets, which was always a highlight for us. A couple weeks into our trip to Guatemala, we went to the town of Chichicastenango for a weekend trip. And Chichicastenango has the largest market in Guatemala on Sundays, which was the day we were there. So we'd only been in Guatemala a couple weeks and weren't really sure what to expect, but this is what we found.
Hi, I'm Jess Dollinger, and I'm going to be reading a reflection from my personal journal about a cooperative that we visited. Cooperatives are much different than marketplaces because you're not hounded to death by vendors in cooperatives. You just kind of move around at your leisure. Our visit to the women's cooperative, Upavim, was an amazing experience for me. When first walking through the cooperative, I noticed the classrooms full of toddlers. I was really excited to be around kids for the first time. I loved listening to the history of Upavim. It really surprised me how many of the women working in the cooperative had moved to the area after being abandoned or widowed by their husbands. I was surprised that only 4 of the women both began the community of Esperanza and the cooperative by themselves without any help. It amazes me that from their efforts, an entire squatter community had been birthed and their cooperative had grown into a daycare, a Montessori school, a medical center with a pharmacy, and a bakery and dairy. What a testimony of God's faithfulness. After hearing all of this, I was emotional because it was another sign to me that God protects and cares for his children. And when I see all of the good that these women are bringing to their community with jobs, goods, and services, I feel such a peace because I know that God brought them to their situation for that purpose. Their services have flourished in the midst of despair. When we walked into the sewing room, it was amazing to see the smiles and laughter that were completely present in the women's working atmosphere. And when the women began thanking us for coming to their cooperative to learn more about their stories and to purchase their goods, I found myself praying a silent prayer that I would be able to help in their efforts towards a prosperous future.
After studying for 8 weeks in Guatemala City, we had a week of free travel, and then we had 2 weeks of community service and community learning in different communities around Guatemala and other countries. There was a group that went to El Salvador and worked with an AIDS organization, a group that went to Chiapas, Mexico, and worked with community development, a group that went to San Pedro on the coast of Lake Atitlan in Guatemala and worked in a clinic. A group went to Bezalel, a school for indigenous people. And then there was my group, who went to Anadesa in Panama, a community that's recently experienced a hurricane 3 years ago, and then a massive mudslide that killed over 200 families in the community, which was over half of it. We had to write first-person narratives about someone that we had an experience with in those communities, and I chose my littlest host sister, Juana. My name is Juana, and although I'm only 7 years old, my eyes and my hands hold the wisdom of someone much older. I'm only 7, and still I know the cures the plants of the mountain provide for a stomach ache, how to make perfect circular tortillas with a few simple pats of my hand, and how to wash clothes on the rocks in the lake below my house. I was alive through the hurricane, survived the mudslide, and now I walk to school every morning with more wisdom than could ever be taught there. I'm a survivor, with a smile as big as my heart and quite a few less teeth. My hands are deft and quick, whether I'm stringing beads for the cooperative where my sisters work or patting my hands in time to the rhythm that means tortillas are being made. I rise before the sun and am still playing my lonely tortilla beat long after the sun and the gringa have fallen exhausted into bed each night. I wear the clothing of my mother, of women 10 times my age, the same cloth that has been used for hundreds of years to separate us and yet bring us together as beautiful indigenous women. I speak the language of my mother, but my smile knows no such boundaries as language. I have 3 older sisters to be my teachers and my example for how I am to work and play in this community and to shape my mind and my tortillas. I have a little brother to be an example for, and yet my path will not be the one he follows. Mine is a life of repetitive motions. Up with the sun, work, play, learn, down with the moon, over again. My life will not change much, even with the addition of a progressive cooperative in the community. I've been socialized from birth and before. I will be a wife, a mother, a cooker, a beater. These are my opportunities. Even still, I will have my smile. I will make my tortillas and be an example for my children. My name is Juana, and when I grow up, I will carry myself with the pride every indigenous woman holds in spirit, and yet I will become bent and broken in body by the endless toil my community and my family expects. I will be wrinkled and hunched from childbearing and rearing, carrying babies and vegetables. But my smile will be there, shining through the leathery bent exterior, because it's all I've ever known.
Hi, I'm Brianna, and for my service time, I went to El Salvador with Amy, Krisesh, and Erica. We had a great time living in San Salvador and working with an organization called ANADACE that works with AIDS, as Heidi said. Living in the capital of El Salvador put us right in the center of the energy and the social activism of the country. And while we were there, we got to experience a couple of events. And the first one, was a march for Monsignor Oscar Romero, who was the Archbishop of San Salvador that was assassinated in 1980. And the people of the country have lifted him up as a saint and still celebrate him. And so we got to go to this march and participate. We marched down the streets of San Salvador. They blocked them off for us with thousands of people marching. The four of us held up a sign and chanted with thousands of people around us. We're going to try to recreate that a little bit for you. So if Amy, Chris, and Erica could come up, we're going to teach you a little chant that we chanted all the way down the streets. It has two parts, a leader part and a follower. And if you guys can all help me out with the follower part, the four of us will say, Romero vive, and you'll all say, La lucha sigue. And then, Romero vive, vive, la lucha sigue, sigue. And the translation of that is, Romero lives, but fight continues. And so, we'll go for it, and you guys can just follow in rhythm.
Romero vive! La lucha sigue! Romero vive, vive! La lucha sigue, sigue! Romero vive! La lucha sigue! Romero vive, vive! La lucha sigue, sigue!
Thanks, guys.
I'm Chris Esch. I'm just going to share a little reflection on coffee in Guatemala. Every day in Guatemala City, I enjoyed a cup of crappy instant coffee before heading to class every day. I naively expected to come to Guatemala to enjoy some of the great coffee, the great Guatemalan coffee, that is so readily available for us here in Harrisonburg. But that stuff is far too expensive for the working class Guatemalan. They only get the junk coffee that remains after the good stuff is shipped to the developed world. On fincas across Guatemala, finqueros make huge profits on their coffee exports while they underpay their workers and rape the land. Other farmers with a bit of land grow their own coffee. But their livelihoods depend on the market, an ambiguous force that could care less if their children live or die. In huge numbers, the landless workers and small farmers are being pulled north, out of necessity. And finally, on a hill high above Lake Atitlan, one of the most beautiful lakes in the world, a half dozen young and middle-aged men work tirelessly with a loud machine to depulp the coffee beans. Unlike many others in this business, however, these men are covered by CCDA, a coffee cooperative that seeks to pay a fair wage. For some, coffee has made them slaves, while for others it has brought them liberation. Some children have gone to bed hungry because of the coffee business, while other children have inherited incredible wealth. Every person that has worked so hard to get this coffee from a plant to my cup deserves at least a thank you. That thank you, however, does not free me from the responsibility to challenge injustice and promote justice. Nor does it pardon the disgusting sin of indifference that has plagued our consumeristic society. If I am to truly appreciate all that is put into this cup of coffee, then I cannot passively accept the people and forces that pervert the process of life. I hope that before drinking a cup of coffee, I will always take a moment to trace that coffee back to when it was a seed planted in the soil high above Lake Atitlan. And by taking a sip of that coffee, I then become the last part of that story. So my choice between fair trade coffee and standard coffee is really a choice of what story I want to be a part of. Do I want to be an end that justifies the means in a system of environmental destruction, human exploitation, and greed? Or would I rather be part of a story that compensates men and women for their hard labor, gives them dignity, and shows appreciation for God's creation? I will choose the latter.
Hi, I'm Mariah Steiner.
And I'm Erica Yutzi. We spent the first 10 days of our trip on the border of Agua Prieta, Mexico, and Douglas, Arizona. And we were in conversation with both sides of the story. We interviewed Border Patrol agents, and we also had interviews with immigrants trying to cross the border, trying to make a living in the factories, and we wrote a small dialogue for that.
I work for the U.S. government, protecting our borders.
I am a Mexican citizen in search of a better life and work.
I work in law enforcement. I hold no personal grudge against Mexican immigrants.
I pick apples, grapes, and oranges. I sneak across borders to make money for my family. I'm just trying to earn a living.
I watch the desert from my Jeep while cameras pan what I can't see.
I know the precise timing and location of patrols and cameras and the right time to run.
My top priority is deterrence, not to arrest, beat, or kill illegal aliens.
My top priority is to succeed for my family so my children can go to school.
I'm just trying to do my job. I'm not racist. I don't have a problem with documented immigrants.
I have no chance of getting documentation. I'm a poor Mexican who can't meet the requirements for a visa.
I go to church with people I know have no papers, and my kids play with theirs.
My community knows my status, but chooses to accept me anyway.
This is my neighbor. My government uses fences and walls to try and stop the flow of people.
Show me a 20-foot wall, I'll show you a 21-foot ladder.
My name is Rick, Jennifer, Rob, Jamie, and I am a U.S. Border Patrol agent.
My name is Juan, Maria, Carlos, Panchita, and I am an undocumented immigrant.
I am a human being.
This time, if we could have Byron and Deanna come front, we just have a little thank you for them. Byron and Deanna had their two sons along, Nikita and Dylan, and so we all got to know them very well, and they were great having along. Fortunately, they're in school today. So we got them shirts and wrote all our names on the back. So these are for them. They can fight over whichever one they want.
Great. Great. They do that well.
That's great. While we were in Mexico and Guatemala on several occasions, we had special celebrations, in particular birthdays, and a lot of times we would make cones and write notes to the person and give them the cone filled with notes. So we thought that to thank, one way of thanking Byron and Deanna was to give them this cone. So,
thank you.
And then we'd also like to pay a special tribute to one member who is missing from our group this morning. Dustin Steiner had to have a root canal done today, and so he's back in Ohio. He's not with us, so we really wish he could be with us, but we know he's here in spirit. And unfortunately, he was the person in charge of the picture. So we do have the frame. It has nice words around it. For the meantime, we drew a picture, has all of us on it. So this will just have to fill in for a little bit, and we'll get you the picture eventually.
That's great.
Thank each of you so much for being our leaders. You did an amazing job, and we just loved getting to know you and being with you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we did have an amazing semester, and we're glad to be home. If you all remember, in our sending chapel, we had candles that we lit and shared with friends and family, and we asked you to hold those for us over these 3.5 months. And what I would like is for everyone who's holding a candle to stand and lift that candle up. And as a way of closing, we want to hold these lights as symbols of the suffering and grief that we experienced on the one hand, and the amazing amount of hope and light we saw in the midst of a hurting world. And so we lift these lights as a way to remind us that God is present in Guatemala and Mexico and all of Central America. God is present with us and calls us to work at creating just structures and being a witness to lives that promote fairness and equity. And so as we go from this place and this experience, we ask you to join with us in that work.